tornadoes and thunderstorms ripped through eastern Kansas and Arkansas Sunday, killing a motorist, damaging homes. There's going to be more and more of this. The weather is turning on us. Second time reporter to testify in leak case. Washington is consuming itself with who said what when. There, I'm done. That's all the national news that I feel like I'm talking about. Now, this in a moment, I'm going to read a story to you that I think is really, really important. First, though, I guess I should say the Bell family as well. The webcam shot tonight. That's Dusty. Now, you can see Dusty has grown a great deal, not only with her shiny fur coat, but in her interests. Now, what's pictured in the webcam shot tonight is our bird, now an adult bird. We raised that bird once it fell out of the tower there at 80 feet. We raised that bird from babydom to what it is now, a full-grown bird. Dusty can be seen looking with great passion, intent, not good intent, at that bird. Now, we have placed two desert cactuses between Dusty and the possibility of getting to the cage you see suspended from the ceiling. However, Dusty is a smart cat. And what she's been doing, recognizing after some painful exploration that this cacti is not to be trifled with, she has begun to remove the spurs, little spikes on the cactus, one by one. It reminds me of a criminal trying to dig his way out of jail with a spoon and then getting caught just as he's about to surface. Now, that's going to happen because we'll just go out and buy a new cactus. If she takes every one of the little stingers off, we'll just go get more cactus. And she can go right on wishing. Anyway, that's the webcam shot tonight, worth taking a look at. I snapped that last night. Now, I'm sure that what I am about to read to you has been covered in previous shows. At least it damn well better have been, and I don't see how it could have been avoided, so certainly it has been dealt with. But as far as I'm concerned, we could spend the entire night on this one story. When, in fact, Ed Dames is due next hour, no, we've got lots to talk to him about, assuming he's there. I put in a call to him earlier. He hasn't returned that, so I don't know. Might not get him. If not, we'll talk about this all night. The headline, it's from Yahoo News, by the way, and the headline you should be familiar with as a listener to this program. The headline is, former Canadian Minister of Defense asks Canadian Parliament to hold hearings on relations with alien ET civilizations. Thursday, November 24th. So surely you've heard this or part of it at least. I'm going to give you the whole thing. Ottawa, Canada. A former Canadian Minister of Defense and Deputy Prime Minister under Pierre Trudeau has joined forces with three non-governmental organizations to ask the Parliament of Canada to hold public hearings on exopolitics relations with ETs. By ETs, Mr. Hellyer, I believe it is. These organizations mean ethical, advanced, extraterrestrial civilizations that now may be visiting Earth. On September 25th of this year, in a startling speech at the University of Toronto that caught the attention of mainstream newspapers and magazines, Paul Hellyer, Canada's defense minister from 1963 through 7 under Nobel Peace Prize laureate Prime Minister Lester Pearson, publicly stated, quote, UFOs are as real as the airplanes that fly over your head, end quote. Mr. Hellyer went on to say, quote, I'm so concerned about what the consequences might be of starting an intergalactic war that I just think I have to say something, end quote. Hellyer revealed, again, quote, the secrecy involved in all matters pertaining to the Roswell incident was unparalleled. The classification was, from the outset, above top secret. So the vast majority of U.S. officials and politicians, let alone a mere allied minister of defense, were never in the loop. Hellyer warned, the United States military are preparing weapons which could be used against the aliens. and they could get us into an intergalactic war without us ever having any warning. He stated the Bush administration has finally agreed to let the military build a forward base on the moon, which will put them in a better position to keep track of the goings and comings of the visitors from space and to shoot at them if they so decide. Hellyer's speech ended with a standing ovation. He said, quote, the time has come to lift the veil of secrecy and let the truth emerge so there can be real and informed debate about one of the most important problems facing our planet today. Three non-governmental organizations took Hellyer's words to heart and approached Canada's Parliament in Ottawa, Canada's capital, to hold public hearings on a possible ET presence and what Canada should do. The Canadian Senate, which is an appointed body, has held objective, well-regarded hearings and issued reports on controversial issues like same-sex marriage and medical marijuana. On September 20th of 2005, the Institute for Cooperation in Space requested Canadian Senator Colin Kenney, Senator Chair of the Third Standing Senate Committee on National Security and Defense, quote, schedule public hearings on the Canadian Exopolitics Initiative so that witnesses such as the Honorable Paul Hellyer and Canadian-connected high-level military intelligence, NORAD-connected scientific and government witnesses facilitated by the Disclosure Project and by the Toronto Exopolitics Symposium can present compelling evidence, testimony, and public policy recommendations. The non-governmental organizations seeking Parliament hearings include Canada-based Toronto Exopolitics Symposium, which organized the University of Toronto Symposium at which Mr. Hellyer spoke, the Disclosure Project, you know about that, a U.S.-based organization that has assembled high-level military intelligence witnesses of possible ET presence. That's also one of the organizations seeking Canadian Parliament hearings, by the way. Vancouver-based Institute for Cooperation in Space, ICIS, whose international director headed a proposed 77 extraterrestrial communications study for the White House, a former U.S. President Jimmy Carter, who himself has publicly, of course, reported 1969 very close encounter of the first kind with a UFO, filed the original request for Canadian Parliament hearings. The Canadian Exopolitics Initiative, presented by the organizations to a Senate committee panel hearing in Winnipeg, Canada on March 10th, proposes that the government of Canada undertake a decade of contact. That's a decade of contact. The proposed decade of contact is a 10-year process of formal, funded public education, scientific research, educational curricula development and implementation, strategic planning, community activity, and public outreach concerning our terrestrial society's full cultural, political, social, legal, and governmental communication and public interest diplomacy with advanced ethical off-planet cultures now visiting Earth. Canada has a long history of opposing the basing of weapons in outer space. On September 22nd last year, Canadian Prime Minister Paul Martin declared to the UN General Assembly, quote, space is our final frontier. It has always captured our imagination. What a tragedy it would be if space became one big weapons arsenal and the scene of yet a new arms race. Martin stated in 67, the United Nations agreed that weapons of mass destruction must not be based in space. The time has come to extend the ban to all weapons. In May of 2003, speaking before the Canadian House of Commons Standing Committee on National Defense and Veterans Affairs, former Minister of Foreign Affairs, Canada's Lloyd Axworthy, stated, Washington's offer to Canada is not an invitation to join America under a protective shield, but it does represent a global security doctrine that violates Canadian values on many levels. Axworthy continued, there should be an uncompromising commitment to preventing the placement of weapons in space. On February 24, 2005, Canadian Prime Minister Paul Martin made official Canada's decision not to have anything to do with the U.S. government's ballistic missile defense program. Paul Hellyer, who now seeks Canadian Parliament hearings on relations with ETs on May 15th of 2003, stated in Toronto's Globe and Mail newspaper, Canada should accept the long-standing invitation of U.S. Congressman Dennis Kucinich of Ohio to launch a conference to seek approval of an international treaty to ban weapons in space. That would be a positive Canadian contribution toward a more peaceful world. In early 2005, the Canadian Senate wrote ICAIS, indicating the Senate committee just could not hold hearings on ETs in 2005 because of their already crowded schedule. That doesn't deter us, said a spokesperson for the non-governmental organization. We're going ahead with our request to Prime Minister Paul Martin and the official opposition leaders in the House of Commons now, and we will reapply with the Senate of Canada in early 2006. Quote, time is on the side of open disclosure that there are ethical extraterrestrial civilizations visiting Earth. The spokesperson went on, our Canadian government needs to openly address these important issues of the possible deployment of weapons in outer space and war plans against ethical ET societies. The implications of this story are just incredible. And now, I've got a number of questions for you. Let me just quickly pose them, and if you feel so disposed to answer, please do. Number one, do you believe, as this would indicate, that they are here now, that they are ethical? Well, we'll get to that. Just basically that they are now here. Two, should our military, as in the U.S. military, prepare to deal with them? Now, that's not such an easy question, unless you can answer some of the following. In other words, should all weapons, for example, be really banned from space? What are the odds that they are going to be our friends? What do you think the odds are they're going to be our friends? Now, until you can answer that one, you should be very careful how you answer number two, should our military prepare to deal with them? Since we don't know the answer to number four, it seems to me number two has got to be a yes. Now, I'm certainly not a fan of shooting at UFOs, nor weapons in space. But until we know their intentions, do we really want to hobble our own military so they cannot deal with them should it occur? Or if it is occurring now, do we really want to stop our own military from being able to defend us? You know, there are so many other stories that I wish I had time to get to. The snows failing to fall in the Arctic tundra. It's just not happening, folks. They're not getting any snow. The weather is, clearly changing. Or this from BBC. CO2 level at the highest point in 650,000 years. 650,000 years. Or this, how the world will end. Very interesting story. Whitley Strieber's Unknown Country comes up with it in The Guardian. A reporter asked, get this, 10 scientists, why do all these things come out of Great Britain? 10 scientists to name the biggest danger to human life on Earth. Are you curious what they said? Some say we'll go out with a big bang. Others say Earth will have a slow, lingering end. Still others say we'll solve the problems. And will evolve into what, a type 2 or 1 civilization? According to British astronomer Royal Martin Rees, human beings have only a 50-50 chance of making it through the 21st century. Oh. He thinks our biggest threats, such as our global warming, are caused indeed by humans. UK researcher Nick Brooks also thinks that climate change is our greatest danger. Viennese researcher Richard Stindl says, our species has a predestined extinction date, just like the cells in our bodies. He compares these to telomeres, which are the protective caps at the end of our chromosomes. As our cells divide, they never copy their telomeres quite completely, you know, just like VHS tapes, never completely the same. And so slowly you age, slowly you die. He contends that eventually this leads to old age in humans, like cancer and Alzheimer's and strokes, and for civilization in general, exactly the same thing. You know, there is a birth, a life, and a death. But Stindl thinks that telomeres also get shorter as a species ages, meaning that every species is destined to eventually become extinct. Health researcher Marie Zambon predicts that a viral pandemic like bird flu will be the end of us. In some places, human life has almost been done in by HIV or SARS. She illustrates with those how quickly it can happen. A terrorism expert, likely, as you might imagine, thinks that that will do it, a bomb, a biological weapon, while defense expert Air Marshal Lord Garden still thinks nuclear war will do us in. NASA's Donald Yeomans thinks we're going to go the way of the dinosaurs, that our world will end with a meteorite strike. I saw a very interesting piece on Discovery Channel the other day about a meteorite strike, and one of the things that would occur with a big one is that the rock would heat, and the rock would heat with this incredible temperature that would race around and cover the entire Earth in something approaching the temperature of our sun, and that it might remain that way for thousands of years. I contend that nevertheless, life at the biological or cellular level would continue at some depths of the ocean and land and would once again emerge to bring forth life on Earth. How many times has that happened so far? We don't know. We know many. We suspect many would be a better way to put it. From The New Scientist, speaking of the little things, The New Scientist, a respected Japanese scientist who works with the World Health Organization, says the Chinese are lying. Liar, liar, pants on fire, says 300 people actually have died of H5N1 bird flu in China. 300, including the 7 cases caused by human-to-human transmission. Now, that would be a monster of a story. This in New Scientist, I guess, part of the quotes. But he's claiming 300 people have died in China. My God, what a lie. And if the rest of it is true, that, human-to-human transmission has occurred, then that's even a bigger lie. The allegations, which he revealed at a meeting in Germany, contrast sharply with China's official position, as you might imagine. It reports only, well, get this, 3 confirmed deaths of H5N1 in people, a boy in Hunan province who recovered, 2 women who died in Anhui province, the latest of which was announced on Thursday. There may be another probable case in Hunan province. So they admit those, but here we have a Japanese scientist who's in a whole bunch of lies. There's 300 cases there, 300. Toshiro could not be reached for comment for the piece in The New Scientist. But others have said these rumors have been investigated. We've been told by the Chinese Ministry of Health that there's absolutely no foundation to them, said Dick Thompson, a spokesman for the World Health Organization. That was a quote to The New Scientist. So you can imagine my concern when I saw a story indicating that many people fear, myself certainly, is that human-to-human transmission already has begun. Now, we can't really nail this down for sure, but if it has, that's a very, very serious story. So we'll put that in Stanton's gray box for now. I think the big story is from Canada. My God, this is a monster story. Virtually, on the one hand, they're saying they are here, and we need to deal with them, and they are ethical, and they are moral, and they're good guys. That's one hell of an assumption, and that's one hell of a story. I mean, how could we not talk about this? How could we not? So do you believe they're here? Should our military prepare to deal with them by putting weapons in space? Should weapons in space be just banned completely? Or, what are the odds? This is really the key question. The last question is really the key question before you can answer the others, I think. What are the odds that they're our friends? Well, you know, this whole thing operates on the premise that they are, that they're ethical, advanced and ethical, and maybe they are. But what if they're not? So until you can answer that question, I don't know how you can decide that our military should not have something up there with which to defend us. Normally, I mean, in most times, I would just be going with horror, weapons in space. Good God. Of course not. But really, you know, you really have to consider the possibility that though this story may have accuracy in it, I'm not fully aware that we've determined that they're... Yeah, I know, look, they're advanced, right? Thousands, if not millions of years ahead of us. And so the natural inclination of people is to consider that these brutish acts that we conduct here on Earth, and always have, you know, from Hitler, and far, far before Hitler and far after Hitler, is just the way of the world. We're a warrior kind of people. So I guess it's a natural assumption to think they're good little guys and wish us nothing but well. But what if? What if that's not the case? First time caller line, you are on the air.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening. Where are you?
I'm calling from London, Ontario, in Canada.
Aha, the source of the story.
Yes. I guess my comment is that I don't think a politician is going to go out on the line like that unless he has something to validate it.
I'm with you. I agree. This is... What we see here, this Yahoo story, I assume it appeared in many places, but it's a monstrous story, and it wouldn't have happened unless there was something real behind it. So we're on the same page there.
Yeah, I do. As far as not having weapons in space until you know the motives of your enemy, I think the fact if they wanted to harm us, don't you think they would have done it by now?
That is... the logical conclusion. But when we're dealing with an alien life form, if in fact that's it, then can we depend on what seems logical for us? In other words, put another way, would you bet your life on it?
Would I bet my life on it?
Yes.
That they won't harm us?
That's right.
I think it would be a no-win situation if we went to war with them. So either way, I lose my life.
Well, and so you feel that way so strongly that you would say no weapons in space, period.
I don't know if we know what we're getting into, or maybe we do, but...
Let's try this angle.
Yeah.
Let's say... Then there you are on a cold Canadian evening. A giant light appears outside the door. You hear this humming magnetic-like sound. Something lands, and you're about to be abducted. You spot the beings, and it's obvious you're going to be abducted. Would you say to yourself, cool, I heard they're friendly. Everything's going to be okay. Hey, I'm not afraid.
In that situation, I'd be out cold, so it wouldn't matter.
In other words, you'd be so scared, you'd have fallen on the frozen Canadian turf.
I would be probably out cold.
That's a good, honest answer. So,
well, I think, no, Art, I know where you're coming from, but this is a very big story.
Yes.
And I'm just curious and interested to see what American counterparts or equal politicians, equal level, would come forward and validate it or dispute it.
All right. Here's what I think.
Yeah.
The early statement that there is something to this means I mean, I can't even imagine this would get released without the American government sort of winking and nodding and saying, well, yeah, it's about time, let's do it this way.
So they're filtering it through someone else?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, we're famous for doing that.
Oh, yes, yeah. Okay, so you're testing the waters to see what type of response you're going to get.
Mm-hmm. And you've not, anyway, on the weapons in space part, mm-hmm. do you, I mean, at some point you have to tell the military, no, you don't. And here's Congress saying and the Senate saying, no, you don't ever, not any kind of weapons. Or are you just concerned enough about who they might be that you would say, I guess we better keep planning for any contingency?
So if we're talking since Roswell, when there was probably contact since then.
Yes.
That's a long time ago. And what, 50 years ago?
By our standards, yes.
Over 50 years ago. But I'm just saying, don't you think in 50 years we would know what their intentions are?
I don't know.
I just can't see us working with someone for 50 years and not knowing what their intentions are. And if
yes,
we,
if you assume that that substantial contact occurred in Roswell,
mm-hmm.
and we do know what their intentions are, then why are we proceeding to build weapons in space?
I guess the theory was that for other countries, to fight other countries, I don't know, on Earth. Because other countries are.
Well, maybe if it really gets bad, we can just take the Canadian arm on the shuttle and swat at them.
Yes, you can do that.
All right. Thank you, dear.
You're welcome.
You take care. Bye. You're on International Line. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
This is Louise calling from British Columbia.
Yet another Canadian. What are the odds?
Fascinating that it hasn't been in our papers or hasn't been talked about on our local radio or TV yet.
Really?
So this is really good that we're getting it from you, and thank you for doing that. Maybe now we can jar them and ask them what's going on.
I look at a story like this and I go, hey, it doesn't get any hotter than this.
Well, I'm really glad that you're doing this. What my opinion would be about whether I have fear of this or not is that we have a lot of space here in Canada. Like, for example, in the Arctic Circle, there are not many people here. We have a lot of open space.
Yes.
So perhaps that would be why we might be more concerned.
Well, meaning what? That they're going to move in and take the acreage or what?
Well, that they could be here and not seen quite easily is what I would feel. I've been in the Arctic. Space is unbelievable up there.
Well, you Canadians have all looked alike to me for a long time anyway, so maybe they're just mixing in.
You know, we talk about that here.
Oh, do you really?
Oh, yes. We're not sure who's here either.
You upstaged me. All right, so on the weapons in space question, how do you feel? I mean, if you were having to make the decision and you knew there were aliens, but you didn't know their intent for sure, would you order the weapons built, or would you say, forget it, none?
I'm afraid that we're not capable of dealing with what energy they might be able to send at us if they want to.
There's a pretty good case for that. In other words, even if they came from, say, the closest possible inhabited star system, they would have technology so far ahead of us that they could squish us like we would step on an anthill.
I'm afraid we would be just like we were in the Civil War days by comparison in war with them. That would be my feeling about that.
I bet you haven't seen the new War of the Worlds yet, have you?
No, but I want to.
Well, it's got maybe the best special effects I've ever seen in a movie, but it's got what we could call the possible downside of contact.
Well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see. You know, that's the Canadian philosophy. It's on the bottom of our flag. Wait and see.
Actually, it's an entire way of living, isn't it?
It is, mm-hmm. And it gets us by.
All right. Well, listen, my dear, I thank you for the call.
Thank you.
And take care. Take that Canadian arm and swat at them as they go by. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
You know what I was thinking?
What?
Now, I just came up with this, so you'll have to excuse
me. Well, let me get a couple
mind.
Basics out of the way. What is your first name?
Oh, it's Mark.
And where are you, Mark?
I'm in Mesa.
Okay, and now you're thinking.
Well, you know, there's an international treaty against arms in space. Now, what you said earlier about, I mean, let's be honest, if they can travel these great distances to get to us, they could clearly squash us like a bug.
Well, there is that thinking,
but
maybe they're physical total weaklings. Maybe they're pushovers. Maybe they're crawling little turtles who have somehow evolved. And
that doesn't stop their little laser beams from cutting our heads off. I mean, come on, they've clearly got incredibly advanced technology. I mean,
so you have seen War of the Worlds.
Actually, no, I didn't.
No, okay.
I did see the first one.
There was a lot of lasering and disintegrating and stuff. It was pretty bad.
Oh, yeah,
the one I saw
didn't have that.
Anyway, this is a giant question. Are you so comfortable, sir, that you would say, forget it, weapons in space, no way?
Absolutely, because they say necessity is the mother of invention, but the fact of the matter is the need to kill the other guy is the mother of invention. So it would seem more likely to me if we had weapons in space, we would certainly use them on each other before we'd use them on anything else. I mean, we're still, to this day, people kill people the world over. It goes on like a vicious cycle.
Well,
let's
enlarge on what you just said. I mean, you're absolutely right. We are, without a doubt, a warrior-like people.
Oh, yeah.
We're a warrior people. Now, any observing society, no matter how well-intentioned they may be when they just before they got here and began to look at us every day, what do you suppose they might be thinking now? They might be thinking, at the very least, quarantine.
Well, it depends on their intent. I mean, if they're really a peaceful race, they're going to just want to have nothing to do with us. If they're a little more on the shady side, they might say, hey, why don't we show you guys how to build the big gun? So, you know, it goes either way. But either way, there's nothing we're going to be able to build that's going to destroy them. I mean, just the idea of launching an MX missile to another galaxy, I mean, our sun would burn out before it got there. It would be a kind of a moot point. We would never destroy their homeland.
Do you think that you could explain this rationally enough to an American general, a typical military cigar-chomping, Pentagon kind of general?
I guess it depends on his clearance. Really,
intriguing. No, I'm just talking about the entire concept that you've been presenting me with, that they'd be so far advanced that there would be no point in even trying to defend ourselves because they would squish us.
Well, I think that's just common sense.
Yeah, but could you make that kind of common sense to a general who's in charge of defending?
Well, no, because they like to kill people.
That's their job.
Yeah, of course they're going to want to put weapons in space because, hey, what if China gets out of hand? I mean, we got to kill them before they try to cash in our bonds.
There's a big one. Forget the aliens, just with the Chinese.
It's nice to have them for the aliens, but hey, if we have some more problems in Afghanistan, why send over troops we don't have when we can just hit them with our big gun?
Having said all that, you're still against it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'd be strongly against putting weapons in space.
Do you believe that your thinking would carry the day in reality?
I would think that basically what this administration wants, this administration gets. This administration, in my opinion, belongs in jail, and they seem to get away with every lie they tell to Congress or the American people. So,
isn't jail a little strong?
I really don't think so. Outing that CIA agent, I mean, we don't know how many lives they put in danger with that. And to say that was just one lone man that did that, and no, it was an accident, it just doesn't float with me.
You don't think that story?
I think Cheney was sitting in a room with the guy and said, "Here's how we can get him back."
Don't you think it's blown a little out of proportion? No matter what,
How do you mean blown out of proportion?
I don't know. The whole thing of, you know, one name got out.
Is,
not
it's hard
good.
To blow that out of proportion.
I know. It's not good. But
it's really bad because it's
really
not
bad.
Just her that's put in danger.
Yeah,
it's everyone else that uses her front company.
It's really bad. Over 50,000 people die on our highways every year. I mean, just it's bad. But
yeah,
keep it
in
perspective.
Accidents. They don't die from an enemy's bullet.
I know, but keep it
in. It kind of changes things.
Keep it in perspective. The amount of press time given to that versus some other pretty important things going on in the world right now.
You're going to have to clarify yourself a little bit.
Well, let me try again. 50,000 people plus die on the highways every year.
Yeah, and that's going to happen. I mean,
the only way
to change that is to take people off the highways, and that's clearly not
practical. All right, well, then you and I are not going to be able to. I'm just saying, can you not put it in perspective, the amount of press it's getting?
It sounds to me like you're trying to justify treason.
No. No. I would never justify the giving out of a covert operative's
name. So you admit
name.
That was wrong.
Yes, of
and
course,
it,
yes,
it
absolutely.
Should be, it
but
should
I
be tracked down to the person who gave the order.
Yes, but I'm trying to say the size of the story, keep it in perspective with other things that are going on.
Well, it's national security. I mean, it's our national security.
So hundreds of people may be dying in China of a disease that could kill every last one of us, making whoever gave that name rather moot.
Yeah, that's a nice distraction.
It's a distraction. Okay, thanks for the call. It's a distraction? It's a distraction, bad as it may be, one name given, and it is bad. I don't deny that. I'm just saying keep it in perspective with the amount of press that it's received. My God. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, this is Jeff from St. Louis, Missouri, KTRS.
Yo, Jeff.
I emailed you that story about the 300 dying.
Oh, yes, 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 in China.
Yeah, and well, there's more dying all over, and the doctors just don't know because they're rural doctors, and they don't know what they're looking for. There could be 1,500, there could be 5,000.
You know, as bad as it may be, the whole thing, what worries me more than anything else is the apparent suggestion in this story that there already has been human-to-human transmission. Now, baby, that's a whole new ballgame.
And can I make a comment about the aliens?
Yes.
There was a movie, TV movie, without warning, a fake newscast where aliens were trying to make contact with the use of asteroids.
Yes.
And we shot down the wrong asteroids, and then they just sent thousands and thousands of three-mile asteroids.
Yes.
From the asteroid belt.
I recall.
They don't even have
and
to
impact,
use spaceships.
And in fact, actually, it wouldn't take thousands. If you watch Discovery Channel, you'll discover that just one good-sized one would do in the Earth and all life
well,
other
we
than...
Well, we took out the one and then the three, and then they just sent thousands.
Yeah, I know, but it wouldn't take thousands to do it. It would just take one big rock.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Well, that's all my comments.
The planet would boil all biological... Thank you very much for the call. Bacterial life would die, except that which could descend into the ocean to a very... critical certain depth, in other words, not too deep or it gets too hot or not too high or it gets too hot because the surface of the entire Earth is boiling. But somehow these little things survive.